welcome to a new episode of One Shot. I have been your extremely charming guest host, Dylan, or Super Dylan. The pronouns you should be using for me are she, he, and they. Mix them up. Have some fun. This episode is part two of us playing a game called Critters in Concrete by Emily Conklin, which is a game where shapeshifters, who can be just your little various city critters, must save each other and their neighborhood. So if you haven't caught part one yet, you might want to do that first. Or not. I'm not your dad. Let's get into it. Gaffield Adonis, I don't know. Do you have a current job?
No, I do not. I cannot get a job because the TikTok sound reminding everybody of my annoying character that I play.
So I imagine as you are kind of just lounging, scrolling, maybe past too many of the videos using that TikTok sound, despite any blocked or muted hashtags and terms that you might try to use, they keep coming up. Mm-hmm. But in a beautiful respite, a break from that, your phone kind of switches off and a number is calling from an unknown number, literally a private number, not coming up on your phone.
Hey, man, this is Gaffield Adonis, Gaffield Adonis, Gaff to my friends. Hello.
Hey, Gaffield.
Hey.
It's me.
I totally recognize you.
It's obviously Ariana. So it's...
Ariana, it's been way long. It's been super way long.
Yeah. So, like, don't tell anyone that I'm calling, okay?
I wouldn't. It's shameful to know me.
Well, no, it's not. It's not because of that. It's because, you know, a bunch of us are trying to...
There's another layer of shame to the call. Okay. Cool. I can be cool about that.
Well, no, you're great. You're great. It's just, you know... Some of us are getting together, you know, for a little bit of a reunion.
Okay. This is a moment where I have to ask the context of the reunion. Is this like a Disney thing or like a cult thing?
Oh, no. Not the cult part, not this time.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this one is just from, you know, sort of traumatized Disney stars. All getting together. Yeah, we just want to, you know, get drunk about it. That's all.
Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, to keep our anonymity, we're calling from a private number. And also, we're going to meet at this really shady bar. I'm going to text you the deets. And, you know, just don't tell anyone you're going to be there or that I spoke to you.
Sure, of course. I can totally do that.
Okay, sweet. We'll see you tonight and I'll text you.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Great. I'm also excited, I think.
Cool. You know, while I have you, do you have any like openings, you know, for someone who's like not qualified super to work, but like could do it?
Oh.
Like a big, I got like kind of a resume gap for 10 years or so. Like, or if you hear anything, if you heard anything.
You know, I'm always looking for people to, you know, pad out the posse. Would you just mind being like a nameless body?
Like a health insurance having position or?
It's not. I can like.
Okay. All right. Cool. Super cool. Not a deal breaker.
Yeah, either. It's non-union and definitely off the books.
Oh, sure,
kind of thing.
Non-union, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it all goes through my agent, but I will definitely put in a good word for you.
Awesome. Awesome. So cool. Can't wait to hang out.
Yeah, it's going to be so cool. She ends that call.
Thank goodness this isn't a cult thing, because I'm remembering now that tradition where they sacrifice one blood-related member every year, and I for sure think I'm a weak link, but if it's not a cult thing, I got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you're fine.
Thanks, digital assistant. That explains why I talk to myself out loud.
Yeah. Stoked to be here. This is the location that Ariana Grande sent you. Mm-hmm. And it pops up on your phone.
Wow. Oh, man, those are low ratings.
Yeah. I've just read reports that an exterminator visits every day.
Well, then they shouldn't have too many bugs.
Hopefully.
I feel like things are going to turn around. I feel like tonight is a night where life starts over, you know?
Yeah. Should I play an upbeat song?
Actually, if you want to play just Sounds of Seagulls, that'd be great.
You got it. And just... so many calls and screams just start playing through
and
the
he's
phone.
Like sort of like trying to pick out what to wear while seagull screams are happening in the background.
Yeah. There's occasionally like an actual human voice yelling because a seagull stole their chips, but that is still in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And the ambience,
it's a part of it.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you know the scene in Clueless where she picks out her outfit on that, like, TV screen?
Yeah.
I am imagining that, but instead of a great song in the background, it's just seagulls screaming.
I was picturing the scene in Morbius where that guy is, like, kind of getting dressed and, like, turning into a vampire at himself. So I feel like there are a few things where he's, like trying on a shirt and he turns and his head is a seagull's head for a second. And yeah.
I've only seen Morbius in a GIF on Tumblr. Someone compressed the entire movie into one GIF, and that's the only way I can zoom in.
Beautiful.
That's how the director intended?
Yeah, of course. Of
it's
course.
Respecting the craft.
As night falls over this noisy, loud city, again, barely a change in the atmosphere as it's still pretty bright and noisy out. The bar starts to bring in some business. The usual patrons, of which there are two, are sat at the bar. But to your surprise, some sort of business-looking folks walk in. Bigsby, this bar that your colleagues have brought you to is dingy, dark inside. It's actually Mills. Would you like to provide some additional atmosphere?
Yeah, I would love to. So every table in this bar, it looks like beautiful, fine wooden tables, maybe from 50 years ago, that have been chipped and scratched and scuffed to hell. All of the seats look like they came from three separate sets. Like maybe every like 10 years or so, they add a few more, and they have that like cheap pleather that's just torn where you can see the foam underneath and the edge is a little bit white. The entire place has this sort of greenish yellow glow from incandescent bulbs. In you know about like those old Pizza Hut lights, you know, with like the fake stained glass.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. That's
I really don't know what this says about me, but I'm like, man, this place fucking rules. It's cool as hell.
Yeah. But it has those some of the bulbs are out. There's a lot of dust in like those easily forgotten areas. If you looked around, you can see tiny little objects, like random shiny things or interesting things or little pieces of food or nuts that are on like the baseboards and little trim as if someone collects things and puts them here. There is mostly high top tables. There's a couple of booths that have seen much better days. And then the bar itself that kind of extends along the rear wall. It's like a long sort of rectangular room. So if you enter, you're entering through one of the long side walls, and then you have to walk all the way down to get to the actual bar.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Oh, and the grossest carpet you've ever seen.
It's carpeted. Like constantly like a little bit
yeah
wet. Yeah, it's like always kind of squishy.
Yeah, like that, like, you know, like bowling alley industrial kind of carpet that's like supposed to be stain resistant but also is like probably supposed to be cleaned.
There's a it looks like there's a pattern on it, but like when you look close enough you realize, oh, it was supposed to be one uniform color.
Yeah. It's very textured, very crunchy in some spots too.
If you have like a decent enough run up, this could easily be like a slip and slide. Oh, like gross. It's just like that level of like slide along the bar.
I hate that so much. it's permeated my very chest. But I do know it well. Go for it.
Do these business people have briefcases?
Matt?
Every single one of us, yeah. Work never stops.
Okay.
The grind never sleeps.
As soon as Sue Pom Pom clocks that, beeline straight to your table.
Everyone's... There's like six of us, and we're all like, I don't know where to put this.
Sue Pom Pom just grabs it, and is just like... Ooh, this is a briefcase.
Right, you are.
You keep the business here?
We keep a lot of business in there.
Human business things? Can I look in here?
You cannot. Hey, I got something going.
Starts trying to open it,
in there.
But can't really do the latches.
Hitting it. We might have another one. Hey, Billy, give the bartender your briefcase to open.
Are you gonna secure it for us?
Yes.
All right. As long as I don't have to put it down on this extremely questionable floor. I'll
you have questions about the floor?
I do have some, but I'll save them till after I've had a few.
Yeah, I can. So I can have all of these? I'll take all of them. Thank you. And just grabs all the briefcases.
That seems like it'll be fine.
Do you want to drink things? I can make you things to drink. I'm good at making things to drink.
Hey, have you got any of that cyber LA tap water? Just like straight from the tap.
Yes. Oh, you like it from the tap too?
I'm on a cleanse to all of the other business. I'm on a cleanse. You understand,
there's
so.
One, two, three, four, five.
Hell yeah,
six,
almost so close.
Six waters. I will bring you six waters.
Let's go.
Everyone else besides Bigsby raises their hand and is like, we'll take beer, actually.
Beer. Yeah. Okay. So all of the beer, it looks the same, but some of it's darker than the other ones. Which one do you want? There's two, three. Do you want the ones that come out like the water does?
Yes. Just like a couple of shared glances, and then, you know what? The dark one.
The dark one.
We'll all take the dark one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to give me money for them.
Yeah. Of course. Well, okay. we're gonna pay and of
you
course
promise?
Tip you for your
because
amazing
you
services.
Have to.
We promise that we will.
I love that you just human-splains people.
You have our word.
Oh, okay. I will be back. Thank you. Thank you for the business boxes. And just puts those in the kitchen and I'll get their drinks.
What a quirky little place. It's wild. People are mad.
Bill does lean in to you and to the rest of the gang and is like, did anybody bring anything really confidential in their briefcases? Because I am getting a slight feeling.
Yeah, no, my briefcase is like, no, I think it'll be fine. My briefcase just can't be opened, just like at all. Super confidential, like super high level, important business, like millions and millions of dollars is like in the briefcase. You know, so I recommend that nobody opens it. And you know what? I sense trepidation. I'll go speak to them. How about that?
Well, that'd be great, because I think in my briefcase, I've got documents that could implicate me in a crime.
Hey, listen, that's just like you, Phil. Yeah, that's just like
that
you.
That is just like me. That's what I'm always like.
We can't take this guy anywhere. Who's this guy?
Hey, I'm bad at my job. But for society, not for the company. I'm good for the company, just bad for society.
Great for the company. Yeah. Great for the company. We all do extremely questionable things for this company, which implicates society on large. Can you scoot? I'm going to scoot.
Don't mind me.
There's a brief as they like turn back after they scoot. Uh-huh. They turn and our table is like right next to a window, and outside in this like grim dark alleyway are like these two rats playing in like in an overturned bin, and just quietly in Bigsby's head is just like, I want to be where the people are. And then they just kind of like re-clock themselves and it's like, no, it's not the time. And they turn back to human society and walk off.
I do have a question for Bigsby. I think I know the answer for Sue Pom Pom, possibly. But Bigsby, possibly. I'm not so sure. Possibly. do either of you feel like that you would be very familiar with Ariana Grande and other various members of old Disney original television programming?
Yeah, I think I am pretty familiar with Ariana Grande, the Nickelodeon child star.
I don't know what Disney programming is.
It's Cyber LA. She did a small stint after her music career. Yeah. She did Disney again, and then she got out.
Oddly enough, Sue Pom-Pom is very familiar, but only with what's currently on the air because of the 10-year-old they're best friends with.
Yeah.
But anything from, like, but this 10-year-old would probably be too young for Ariana.
Yeah.
In that sense. Probably just, like, the Seven Rings sense. But Sue Pom-Pom's not retaining that info.
Sure, sure. I ask because just as you are beginning to turn away from your part of your world moment, out the window, a group of at once slash currently, depending on the individual, famous former child stars of Disney slash other children's media, walk down the street and are headed into this very location.
It's such a whiplashing, jarring moment when it's like, you know, there's the thing of like, everyone tries to be cool when they see someone famous in real life. Sure. But then sometimes it's so jarring that you can't be. It like short circuits some bit in your mind.
Yeah.
And Bigsby is fully staring at Ariana Grande and the crew of the hit show that she was on.
Yeah.
As they all walk through the door.
I would like to just quickly inject the real life celebrity sighting story that I had. I was leaving a Mike Birbiglia show.
Oh, God.
Hanging out with, like, my sister had to use the bathroom. So I'm like just sort of hanging around. I see somebody like walking towards the door and I'm like, oh, shoot. I recognize this person, but I don't know their name. And my first assumption always when that happens is they must be from the games industry somehow. And I just like, I don't remember their name. Like, it's an older person. So clearly it's like, this is an older generation of like game people. I'm feeling awkward because like, I recognize this person. They probably recognize me. I'm not going to know their name. I'm like psyching myself up to like do a pleasant hi, hello or whatever. And like, I'm staring at them, like trying to, or not staring, but like I'm taking glances, like trying to think of like, how do I recognize this person? What's their name? And they walk right by me and don't say a thing. I'm like, oh, thank fucking Christ. And my sister comes up to me afterwards, like, why were you being so weird about Vince Vaughn being there? And I'm like,
TTRPG thank enthusiast God. And game designer. Thank God. God.
Yeah, thank God I just treated a very famous man weird.
Yeah.
Instead of.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's like relatively normal rather than like.
Yeah, drop in the bucket for Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. 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 That could have been a whole lot worse for both of us.
Yeah. Had it been Matthew Mercer in disguise.
Or had I been excited to see Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, that could have been a real disaster.
Anyway, apologies, that moment.
No, please don't apologize. What a little...
back to the small mosquito bar, Bigsby looks at the door and I was like, oh my God, is that Ariana Grande and Vince Vaughn walking toward this bar right now?
Notable Disney child star Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, because he did that stint after Ariana Grande like stopped doing music and then did Disney Channel.
It's a moment
Vince Vaughn was
where
in the A-list
show. Celebrities loop around and do a bunch of Disney Channel stuff.
You know, no, it's absolutely. Like it's like how what's it called? Like Mads Mikkelsen when he was in Rihanna's "Bitch Better Have My Money" music video, and part of the reason he took the part was because he didn't really know Rihanna and hadn't really heard of it, but his kids were like, "You have to do this," and it's like. It's the parents, the A-list celebrities who are parents who are doing things so their kids can see them in things so they think they're cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this group does enter this shoddy little mosquito inn and greeted by apparently a very, very anxious person near the door. And otherwise a relatively empty space besides one table full of executives and two very intoxicated people at the end of the bar already almost asleep.
Sue Pom-Pom's in the back. The whatever briefcases she's managed to open has taken the more interesting pieces of paper.
Yeah.
For the possum party outside. And
can
then...
can I have our first roll of the night? I want to see I want to say that this should be a concrete role to open briefcases.
I agree.
If you can argue for any other connections that you think would give you a additional die to add, you can do so. Otherwise, you will roll just one.
I, as much as I am a fan of arguing for rolling more dice, I genuinely can't think of anything that would help Sue Pom-Pom in this situation unless there's like someone in the back in the kitchen working. But I think this is a Sue Pom-Pom solo mission.
Okay, go for it. So roll a d6 okay, and you want over your number.
Okay, so my number is 4 and I rolled a 4, so that's not great.
Your number exactly. You are a city critter. You do succeed. And
nice.
You get special insight into what's going on.
Ooh.
So I am going to say that not only do you pop open these briefcases, I think that you are able to put together a very interesting puzzle based on the paperwork inside. The documents inside each of these briefcases, however... innocuous and simple on their own, a couple of billing statements, a few decrees, and a few proposals to city council. Different things here and there, but when you piece it all together, it looks like the people working for this waste management company are lobbying for and perhaps involved in a new initiative. And it looks like that initiative is going to involve destroying places in the city that have a high likelihood of infestations of insects and other invasive critters.
Okay. So I know 1,000% that Sue Pompom has no idea what lobbying is. That's just sure. a given.
Yeah.
But I think they do have a very...
It's incredible that she can read.
I think she can read like this small thing. I think what they get is there are certain words that they recognize because they know exterminate. And they know, like, they know how to do maps because that's how they get to visit all of their friends. Because when they're a possum, they had a very good innate understanding of how the city was laid out. And so being able to put that on top of these weird pictures, it's so much easier than all of the letters.
Yeah.
And I think they know something bad is happening and is going to separate those papers from the ones that they want to tear up for the possum party outside. And then... is going to just leave the briefcases here because they're protecting them and go give people drinks.
Okay. And the briefcase event happened in the back, so that's not something that the rest of the patrons would see.
I've taken the papers that Sue Pompom thinks are interesting, which mostly are the ones with a lot of the maps and diagrams of the city and maybe accidentally some really relevant information. And is just going to put them on a high shelf because in their experience, putting things on a high shelf means people can't get to it.
Yeah.
They couldn't reach anything when they were a possum.
Yeah, of course. This is the scene that the Disney stars all walk into.
And since we haven't named a single Disney star yet,
no.
I kind of want to keep that going.
Good.
So Jason Bateman's got to be in this group, right? Because he's also a former child star not connected to Disney,
as far
as I know.
Can Clay Aiken be there?
Yeah.
Wasn't Clay Aiken, like, not famous before they were an adult, too? That's great.
Yeah.
That's in this world, not in alternate side of Los Angeles.
Great.
Oh my god, I love they brought along
there was a show called
Willem
Potter
Dafoe,
and Clay.
His best
Sorry.
Willem Dafoe.
Very
Willem
good
Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe's incredible run on the on Hannah Montana 2 this time it's personal.
I love where your brain is, Matt, because I would give anything to hear Dylan's Willem Dafoe.
Quick, gang, we need to crowdsource right now. What accents can Dylan almost do? That's all we need to figure out.
Dylan, are you a voice guy?
Get on the
phone. Give you the worst gift?
My Willem Dafoe and my instinct in my head was like, I don't know how to do Willem Dafoe. Just do, I don't know. Just...
It's specifically Willem Dafoe, but after the stint on the Disney Channel, because he left because he got into, like, there was, like, some drama on set, and he actually got stuck in the voice from The Lighthouse that he was doing, if that makes it easier for you at all. Have you watched The Lighthouse?
What are you talking about? What is The
Willem
Lighthouse?
Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse. Have you not watched
is
The Lighthouse?
Is that Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
It is.
He speaks like this all the time.
Why just spill your beans, lad? Yeah, it's The Lighthouse, the Disney Channel original TV show that they made.
Yeah, they adopted. So they adapted The Lighthouse to be a three-camera Disney Channel sitcom.
Kid-friendly
version.
It's
still all in black and white, and still a retelling of Prometheus. But
it's three separate 35mm cameras.
Yes, of course. Well,
you gotta say, this world sounding better and better.
Jason Bateman,
it really does.
Willem Dafoe,
I love Cyber LA Gang.
Ariana Grande, and probably the most famous Disney child actor, Garfield, walk into this shoddy bar. Is there a bartender at the bar right now?
Sue Pompom is bringing out the dark beers for everyone and the tap water. And see as this group of people come in. Do you guys want to drink things? I can make you drinks.
Hey gang, who's drinking?
I'm drinking. Obviously.
That's a pretty good Dafoe. That's a good Dafoe.
Oh my god, it's a cheeky little one-shot mid-roll. I hope that everyone is enjoying our silly little game of Critters in Concrete as much as we enjoyed playing it. But did you know that you can catch lots of other silly one-shot antics at Gen Con this year? There are going to be live editions of System Mastery and Skyjacks and more. Make sure you check out the show notes. It's going to have everything that you need to know, including where you can reserve your spot and get a ticket ahead of time. We hope to see your butt there in a mask, whether you're in the audience or on the con floor. Please be safe and have fun. Now let's get back and finish up part two of Critters in Concrete.
Okay, we have water and we have beer and we have vodka and we have nicer vodka and we have whiskey and we have tequila. And we have gin, and we have rum, and we have bourbon, and we have a darker rum, and oh, our beers come in three different colors. Or, if you want the tiny little metal ones, I can get you the metal ones, but then sometimes I pour those into a glass anyway, so I don't really get it. But if you want to get really drunk, you can get the clear stuff that's not water, and the alcohol, it's called alcohol, and that works really well. And I can mix them together, too, if you want more than one.
We're all child stars, so we'll take all of those.
You? How old are you?
I'd rather not talk about that.
Understood. You're just the tallest children I've ever seen. I haven't seen very many children, though. I'm going to make you alcohol. Oh! You have to pay for it.
Like, just looking around for consensus from the group.
Gaffield definitely looks a little nervous. He doesn't have a lot of, like, spending money. But, you know, he's also trying to be brave and cool in front of his other child star friends.
Yeah, we'll pay for it.
Good. Okay. I will be back with your drink. Yeah, Sue Pom Pom goes to the bar and just mixes like cans of Four Loko with like several different alcohols because they didn't specify what they wanted.
I think this is also a universe. It's Cyber LA and this is becoming increasingly dystopic. So I do think we're back at original recipe.
Yeah, this is original recipe. Yeah, this is for sure.
And just, like, each one is kind of different, and she's having a lot of fun, like, putting different things in it. And so one of them has a lime, and one has a lemon, and one has an orange, and one has rosemary, because that was the only other thing on the table. Actually, this bar doesn't have rosemary. That's too nice. It has... It's shitty brown mint.
Okay.
Ooh, nice. Good. Bigsby, after like, walking over, seeing Sue Pom Pom, like, leave, is like, it's probably fine. And then walks back past all of the Disney Channel original stars and sits back down. Is like, goes to Billy or whoever. Oh my god, is that Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson from The Lighthouse? Oh my god, is that Garfield who played the crow in the Lighthouse Disney Channel original show?
You mean the adaptation of the Brandon Lee classic, The Crow?
Yeah, and they put him in the Disney Channel original. You know how Disney Channel.
Yeah, he played Cousin Oliver of The Crow. They introduced that new character to The Crow, his in-life cousin Oliver, with that catchphrase.
Yeah, during the time that Disney was like buying up a bunch of films and then turning them into Disney Channel original TV shows.
What's that catchphrase again?
What? Why? That's what I'm thinking. I wonder if he stared
at him
long enough. He's just gonna do
it. I remember that there was one, but I would love for somebody to remind me of what that is. It's a tremendous amount of power that I'm handing over to somebody else to remember something for me.
Aw, I hate crows.
That's why it was so unpopular. That's right.
That's because people loved The Crow, like the show, and you kept saying I hate crows like all the time as well during big dramatic scenes.
It's very possible I don't remember what The Crow was about.
The Crow is about a guy who got murdered and comes back as like a vengeful ghost to avenge that murder.
Wait, like, is this an actual thing or is this a bit?
This is a for real
The Crow is a movie.
This is a for real movie. And like it's kind of like one of the original like dark, gritty superhero-esque concepts. But like he's never challenged because he's like a vengeful ghost. You can't do anything to him. There's no tension in the movie. So it's just this guy like killing these people in like these really horrible ways.
So I'm going to say that the cousin character actually adds tension. Somebody to finally question.
That was the executive decision.
Yeah, and hate crows. Yeah.
Very contentious because of diverging from the source material. And then people were like, I don't know if this is appropriate for children.
Yeah.
But it got three seasons before they introduced the cousin character. So.
It's so brutal. There's so much blood in it. It's wild.
And it's like introducing it's like they're showing this to 6 year olds. As a sort of like gestalt there made people realize, wait a second, what is this?
What are
show?
We doing? Why are we doing this?
Well, overhearing that conversation, the crowd kind of recognizes that they've been recognized. You've been spotted by this table of executives who are now quoting catchphrases from some of your old media. And a few of the people that you're with are feigning, you know, chagrin over it. But it's kind of that feigning, but with a side of relief that you're still recognizable and that your media is still pivotal in a way.
Oh man. Yeah, I really thought I was getting close to beating it, you know. That TikTok, it just brings things back.
Why would you want to beat it? Why beat it? Isn't it great?
You know, I think our experiences of our media careers were different, perhaps. Tell me, I mean, have any of you guys ever wished that you could be free like a noble seagull?
Oh, like, I mean, kind of. I think sometimes about how the seagulls like fly.
Yeah.
And, but then they also steal my chips.
Yeah.
At the beach. And I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Well, I guess there's contrasts in both of our worldviews, huh? That's fun.
Yeah. You're kind of poetic now. Were you always like this?
I had a profound life experience within the past year or so that's it's given me appreciation for some things, for sure.
Wow. So, like, rehab?
Like rehab, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we, I guess that's kind of what the point of all of this is. We could talk about that and you know, share our experiences.
Sure. Let's see. I mean, gosh, it wasn't that long ago that I was like on a beach fighting a rat for the last munch on a hot dog. For sure. That was rough. That was a rough one. Because that rat got that hot dog.
Ariana's eyes get wide. Willem Dafoe puts a hand on your shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. We've all been there.
Wow. I gotta tell you, I was really nervous about coming out tonight because I am not popular anywhere. So this actually means a lot to me. That I got invited and that I get to spend some time with all of you. People who feel like understand me and the things that I've been through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, after I finished filming Twilight for the first time, I was definitely hated everywhere. But then, you know, we did a lot of indie projects and then we really bounced back in the public eye. And I believe the same thing can happen to you.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe it. Robert De Niro, star of the Twilight reboot, telling me that he relates to me. What? Gosh, it really feels like I'm about to start a new chapter in my life.
You know, we all have these kind of transformative experiences that we all have been through. And, you know, that's why we wanted to just ask, how come you never show up to Illuminati practice?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Guys, is this an intervention?
Oh, no. We would never do an intervention. Those are against regulation.
Okay, maybe I'll rephrase that. Is this one of those things where you invited me out under the guise of not talking about Illuminati stuff, and you're going to try and get me to come to more Illuminati stuff?
Well, we just want to know why you don't go. And, like, we kind of want to know, like, how come they haven't killed you for not going yet?
Well, first of all, hard to answer question number two, because I didn't super pay attention to a lot of it. You know, that was kind of a thing that my parents did, and, like, I sort of decided when I grew up that, like, you know, the high holidays, I might observe those, but for the most part, I'm doing my own thing. And as to why I don't go, like I said, transformative experiences. I've got different priorities these days, I think. Yeah.
James, I would love to see you do a little role and try to sort of pass through this sort of grilling that you're getting.
Sure.
And use a concrete role to be.
Did we establish my number?
Did we not establish your number? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna roll randomly for it right now. I got a two.
Two. Okay. A nice. Two.
Very good.
Which puts you in the firmly in the critter camp.
Yeah.
But to do concrete. That's good. You're gonna need to get over a two, or a two exactly.
I got a five.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, you absolutely succeed. There is sort of just like a little bit of guilt that seems to wash over them. And Ariana Grande sort of like grabs a drink and raises it to cheers to you and says, no, we really just wanted to get out together. We were just curious because, you know, we never see you there and not all of us want to be there all the time.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is sort of a cult.
Well, yeah. Hey, crazy idea. Do you guys like French fries?
Yeah, of course I love French fries.
Okay, do you guys like, breezes?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, all right. What could I sell you on a completely different lifestyle? I want you to picture yourself completely unburdened by the responsibilities that you have of being public figures. Of finding one place in the world where the only thing that you have to worry about is how quickly you can grab a piece of food and perhaps drag that piece of food away from someone who's eating it, throw it into the sand so they don't want it anymore. You can just go to town on it.
Huh. Well, I think I know what you're trying to say. It's a little abstract.
I've been told I'm very poetic.
I would love for Bigsby and Sue Pom Pom to both make critter rolls, because I think overhearing this speech may or may not give both of you some indication that there is another critter shifter here.
I rolled a 3. Is that good?
What is your critter? What is your number?
4.
Yes, that is good.
In that case, may I make a request?
Yes.
Can Sue Pom Pom have just been standing there quietly holding the drinks for this entire conversation and didn't want to say anything because they've learned that interrupting people is impolite and sometimes people get mad?
Yeah, of course.
So I'm just standing there.
Matt, what did you get for your critter roll?
I got a 5, and my number is 3.
Okay, so you're too involved with.
We're all like naming all of the classic Disney Channel original remakes that we loved as kids.
Of course,
yeah. I mean Scarface, Godfather, Godfather 2, Godfather 3.
Loved those.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I loved the when they remade the Saw franchise, but like every season was one of the films of Saw. Mm-hmm. That was great.
That was really wonderful. Yeah.
I really liked the Citizen Kane DCOM musical.
I love the Kane DCOM musical, absolutely.
I preferred Kane DCOM musical 3. That was sort of a self-referential meta commentary on its own themes.
I think they really hit their stride on that one.
They really did. I think Jack Nicholson really killed that role and did really well as a musical actor, yeah.
Sue Pom Pom, mm-hmm. behind this group.
Sue's pretty short too, so it's very easy to not notice.
As it clicks for you what this speech is really about, this lifestyle that's very familiar to you in a very, very personal and very specific way.
Sue comes in with the drinks. Oh, I have all of your drinks. This one's kind of blue. This one's kind of orange. This one's also orange, and this one is clear, but it's not water. Did you say you wanted to eat French fries that were in the sand?
Mayhaps we did.
That is not normal human behavior. Did you know that?
I would like to request, Dylan, that this completely changes the mood at the table.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
Like, whatever spell I was weaving is completely broken.
Yeah, there's now a bunch of eyes on you to respond to that.
And I would like to make a roll to see if I can recover from this situation.
Please do. Concrete.
I rolled a 1.
I think in the meantime, Sue is explaining. So if you take the food and you put it in a bowl or a plate, or sometimes there's tiny little bags made of plastic, and just talking about, like, explaining the concept of, like, dinnerware.
And Gaffield is just sweating, just absolutely sweating.
Your former and tangential castmates have looked on in this as this bartender is explaining to you how to eat food off of dinnerware.
Mm-hmm.
And are starting to do the most horrifying thing that people sitting at the same table as you can do, which is have little asides with each other, not involving you.
And so when the things fall on the ground, you have to go find new ones, actually, because humans don't like eating things that were on the ground, like, ever. Even if it's just for, well, some of them will eat it for just a moment. Do you guys, and looking at the rest of the table, do you guys like to eat food off the ground, or do you like it on the plates?
Plates. Please.
Right.
Ariana. Yes.
Everyone loves the plates.
We do prefer plates.
Oh.
Is this shocking?
I need to excuse myself. And Gaff gets up and just runs to the nearest door, which is not the restroom. I think it's that employees only area where Palm was earlier.
Can we say that that's where all the briefcases are?
Yeah, no, the briefcases are, there's like a, you know, it's like in the back, there's like a kitchen that's not being used because Sue Pom Pom is no longer allowed to operate anything in the kitchen.
Good.
And there's just like, there's just a style, there's a stack of the briefcases that are like kind of open. You can see some of the papers, they've been closed, but like sometimes the papers are out. There's some paper on the floor and then like a little pile that has been shredded off to the side.
Can there be one of the briefcases, which is specifically Bigsby's, that has yet to be opened? But or it's like you unlocked it, but you hadn't fully opened it yet because then Ariana Grande walked in?
Yeah, I think that happened. Also, Sue Pom Pom is going to go after the person who ran away.
Okay.
Because they didn't pay for their drinks and they promised.
And Dylan, I have one more request of you. And that is, I would like to change one of my connections because I realized the second connection I gave you, the group of seagulls down by the shore, the one thing I established about it is they didn't really have a relationship with me, which makes no sense as a connection.
As a connection,
so
sure, sure.
I would like to change that to the one seagull I did swap bodies with, who learned an important lesson about humanity, because I feel like that's more useful as a connection.
Perfect.
Overall.
Of course.
So yeah, Gaff goes into this kitchen area, really distressed, like looks around, realizes immediately that he's not supposed to be here, and is now even more socially shamed because like, well, now I gotta just commit to this choice.
To follow shortly after. You're not allowed to be in here. I cannot have friends in the kitchen. No matter how tiny.
Gah!
Ah!
Gah! Gah!
Ah! Okay. Are you going to pay for your drink? You promised.
I can't. I can't pay for my drink.
You can't pay for the drink.
I felt like it might be a situation where someone else would pick up the round.
Oh, okay.
Everybody out there is famous and successful because it makes sense for them to be in this world. But I don't belong here. I never have.
Oh, me too.
Well, you seem to know a lot about eating off of plates and out of certain bags and never from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the ground.
It took me a long time to learn that, and you have to use... Well, I did use my hands, but these thumbs are so much better. But, yeah, there's a lot of rules that no one ever talks about, but once you get them down, it's okay. And you're taller now, which is great. And things aren't always trying to eat you, which is nice. And,
well, that's where you're wrong. This city is one concrete jaw that's always trying to chew you up, take whatever it can from you, and throw you to the ground like a crow. Oh, I hate crows. I hate them.
I also don't like crows.
They're so much smarter than me.
They take my things, and they're loud, and they're not very polite.
Well, loud and impolite, I'm kind of down with. That's sort of my whole jam in another space, kind of.
You feel very polite right now. You've got someone else to pay for your drink. You're not supposed to be in here, but you look upset. And you're not very good at being a human, are you? It's okay. Wow. I wasn't when I first changed either, but now I'm really good at it. I don't pay taxes because all of my money is underneath the tables, but I learned what they are.
I'm pretty certain that no one out there pays taxes either, so you're probably good.
Excellent.
Matthew, Bigsby, in the middle of the ongoing conversation at the bar, the reminiscing about your favorite Disney original reboot shows, and sequels to movies that should never have been made. A mechanical...
Bold take.
A mechanical whirring sound you hear from just outside the bar as a drone with lit up glowing lights that kind of go over and over in a marquee goes and attaches itself to the outside of the door, two little suction cups, and attaches itself there to the door. The lit up sign starts to read in a repeating scrolling pattern, city ordinance, this building is to be condemned. This building has had, and then a number ticks up, 427 reports of infestations within the last 2 years. This is too many. And the ordinance continues to scroll by, stating that the city will be sending a team to demolish this building within 3 hours.
Oh, shit.
The final message on the screen is the logo of your waste management company and the partnership between that and the city ordinance.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: When in Rome by Avocado Junkie, Echo Mountain by Shimmer, You Have a Way with Me by Shells by the Sea, and Apex Program by Cody Martin. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Thank you so much for joining me, Matt, Mills, and James for Critters in Concrete. And another thank you to Emily Conklin for designing this great little shape-shifting game. As a reminder, the One Shot Network will see you at Gen Con this year. That's August 3rd through the 6th in Indianapolis, Indiana. Please remember to check out the show notes and grab tickets for the various panels and performances ahead of time so that you don't miss out. As a heads up, we are strongly encouraging all attendees to wear masks throughout any of One Shot Network's events this year, but performers may be unmasked during said performances in order to ensure the audience hears them clearly. Please do make the best decision you can to protect yourself while enjoying our shows. Also, a big howdy doody thank you to anyone who is supporting the One Shot Network on Patreon. But did you know that you can support the show for totally 100% free? If you tell a friend about the One Shot Network or this show, or rate the show on iTunes and give it a little review, it greatly increases the visibility of the show and also makes us feel so good. Here, I'll give you a little example just for fun. Oh my God, have you heard about this guest host Dylan over on One Shot? Listening to them is like coming in out of the snow to a hot cup of cocoa, but if the hot cocoa was funny. I sure do hope we hear from that super Dylan again. See? So easy. And please, if you thought this game sounded fun to play, which it was, go grab yourself a copy on runningdog.itch.io. Later, gamers!
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.